Can you hear now? Oh, there you go. Hallelujah. That was a chore. Well, I'm very excited to be here today. And I want to thank Pastor John and Karen for inviting me to speak. And this is an incredible day for me, as my wonderful mother, if she were here, would be absolutely blown away. If she saw me standing here preaching and talking about mothers in Baptist church, she would be in tears. She became a born-again Christian at the age of 14 in a Baptist church in Sydney. She walked for miles to attend the church and the youth group. And she was the only one in our family, our large family, that belonged to a Baptist church. All the rest came from other denominations. But she never preached to me much as I was growing up as a child, but she lived the life. She had great input and impact, and she never wavered. Sorry. Okay. I'm very grateful for that, and when I was 8 years old, she gave me a Bible that I still have today. She was a remarkable woman. She passed away 90-year-old. She walked with the Lord for 75 years, closed her eyes and went home to Jesus. But when she was 80-year-old, she used to have the minister come to the nursing home where she was living, and he would take the service. One day he was sick and he didn't turn up. She was in her mid-80s. And she'd heard a lot of preaching in her life, and so she didn't want the people to be let down. So at 84, or something she was, she stood up and said, "Well, I'll take the service." So be encouraged. Doesn't matter what age we are. And she had a great voice, a great singing voice, so she sang some songs and got people to give testimonies and read the word. And today, even today, I'm still smiling about that she did that in her life. So today, I want to take a moment to honour my mother and all the mums here today. Would you join me and put your hands together and clap and honour all the mothers here today? Greatly loved. John and I have 3 daughters, 9 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild, Hezekiah. Every time I say that name, I think, "Oh, he's going to be a whirlwind when he comes." We haven't met him yet. He's 6 months old. And another great-grandson on the way in September. We have had many challenges and many blessings. But to say today with our family, they all love the Lord and serve the Lord to this day. And I know that most of us here today are well past being childbearing. But at any age, we can have spiritual babies, be mothers and teachers and mentors of others that need encouragement and need solutions that work. If our car breaks down, it's true, we look for a solution. We don't give up till we find it. And children are far more valuable than that, than any cars. And I'm sure in this room there are many success stories, but if you would allow me a few minutes to encourage you briefly today on 5 powerful principles of the Word that the Lord has taught me, especially when I was a new Christian, that have worked and produced fruit because they come from the Word and the Word never fails. I used to keep a jar of Smarties in my house, and one day I went downstairs to find them. When I went down there, they was half gone, and there was my daughter sitting in the corner with chocolate all around her lips, chewing. So I went over to her, her name's Odette, and I said, "Did you eat Mummy's Smarties?" "No," she said, "Lucy did it." Lucy was her doll. And I couldn't stop laughing, so how could I be cranky, you know? But I soon learned at that moment that children don't need to be taught to lie or misbehave. They come pre-programmed. But we need the guidance and encouragement from the Lord. So I found prayer my go-to place in those times where I needed help. And so the Lord taught me these five things. Number one was consecration. It means natural things are given spiritual power to declare something holy or sacred to the Lord. And I learnt that in early days, that was how I walked and lived and served God, as what I would produce. And every day, you and I, we look into the mirror, although I probably don't look, I looked in the mirror today, but you know, we're working through that. As we look into the mirror and we brush our hair and we clean our teeth every day, I wonder how often we actually look into the Word of God and allow Him to work on our lives and change our life. When we open the Word of God and look into it, we're actually opening God's heart. We're looking into His heart, His Word. So it's very important. John and I had very, very different and have had different journeys in our life and still are. But one thing we learned was that God spoke to us about consecrating some things in our life for Him, for His glory. And by His mercy and His grace, I can say 40 years later, we haven't wavered. Good on you, John. We haven't wavered for some of those things because we knew the Lord had highlighted them to us for our journey and our purpose in our life. Little did we know that the power of them would be so influential on our own life, but on our children's. I can't unpack them today, but I can share one, and it was church attendance. It was never negotiable, not out of duty or out of any obligation, but because we wanted to. We instilled in our children a love and a joy for the church and the body of Christ, and to this day, they still have that passion. We are still on a journey, all of us, you and I. But we don't want to keep going around the same mountain. So today maybe the Father is speaking to you about something you need to lay down, something you need to consecrate to Him, leave with Him. Number two was courage. We don't always have to be our kids' best friend, but be their protector and their leader. And that takes courage sometimes. To be bold as a lion to say no. I'm not very good at that with my grandchildren, but I was okay with it with my own kids. When John and I were new pastors, we met a mum and dad who were doctors in a little place called Barrel. And they had a beautiful daughter, but they placed no restraints over her life. Gosh, this was a disaster. And we learnt many lessons as we worked through this and with that family. John and I found her one night as we were doing street work. We found her in the gutter, 15-year-old, blind, drunk, wet her pants. We're sitting there, laying there, couldn't even get up. And lots of boys hanging around her. It takes courage to build boundaries. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. And a rod of reproof imparts wisdom, but a child unrestrained brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:15 says that. The third area was the cross. Did we always get it right? No. Did our kids always get it right? No. Did our family get it right? No. But Proverbs says, train up a child, in 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen? So when our girls were fighting or mean or yelling, I found out as a young mum, yelling back at them didn't always work, as you probably have. So I learned to teach them. As I pray, I wanted to teach them about Jesus on the cross, His great sacrifice, His great love, and His forgiveness. And I needed to only tell them that story a few times in their early years. When I'd mention it, they'd start crying, "Mum, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And they'd repent of it, and we'd get on with it. And they would still to this day, if they were here, tell you they could still cry over the cross. One of them years later, little did we know that she'd marry a talented husband and they were asked to produce reenactments of the cross. For decades they have done this and seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people commit their life to Christ. When we honour the cross in our life and teach our children to honour us as we speak to them, but to honor, if we don't do that and don't succeed in that, then they probably will not grow up and obey and learn to listen to the voice of God. My other daughter, one of my other daughters, she has helped many, many boys. There's a charity, I won't mention it today, I'm not sure they'd want me to. There's a charity in Australia that looks after boys, boys and girls, but mainly boys. Schools will not even take them. And there are thousands of them in Australia. They won't take them because they have lived such horrendous lives. They have been so abused, so tormented. It's quite unbelievable to even think that a child could be treated like that or grow up like that. My daughter took that ministry on because she felt those boys were about to go over the cliff to hell. And they were, some of them, and she was being able to help them. Out of that, she's able to show them the love that flowed and the forgiveness that flows from the cross. Number four was consequences. We all have choices in everything we do. Amen for that. Just throw that in there. We all have powerful choices that we make and live by. But we found and we discovered there were so many hurting people in marriages that we had the passion, really a passion, that our children would have a choice and make consequences to choose a partner. It was vital for we believed for their walk in their faith. We fought great, huge battles as they was teenagers, not just because of them, but because of the enemy. But a few weeks ago, John Finger shared about this in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked. I read this as a new Christian and I totally believed it and could see how the Lord would work in that in someone's lives. Our three daughters all had Ishmael boyfriends a little while before their Isaac husbands came. Amen. And we have many, many stories about cultivating this into our family life, into many other families. All glory to God that He taught us these things and sometimes even seen His divine intervention into these situations to help people. To this day, we celebrate our three son-in-laws. John and I at our 50th wedding anniversary. They asked us to get up and speak and just say a few words, which we didn't want to do, but we got up and we never talked about it. We weren't prepared. We just got up to say something to the girls and all our family that were there. And John started and he spoke about his three son-in-laws. He couldn't even get out three son-in-laws before he was weeping. And then when I got up and I didn't know, and as soon as I said my three son-in-laws, I started weeping. We're so blessed. It's such a privilege and an honor, such a blessing to have men of God who serve the Lord, love the Lord and love their family. But today, I want to encourage you. You know, if you are one of those people or whatever in your life that you are unequally yoked or still struggling through that, it can be a great pain. But in not having the jointness and the agreement in belief, it does cause a lot of heartache. But I say this to you today, keep believing. Jesus is well able to turn any situation and any impossibility into something good. Amen? And as I finish today on last point, number five, it's a confession of the word. To me, this is the most powerful thing that I learnt the Lord taught me. And I'll finish with these two examples. I believed it so much And for decades, I was so amazed about it, how God used it. He used it mightily in people's lives. I was so taken by it. I wrote books, children's books. I did photo albums and all kinds of things for my kids, and I read them, and they were full of scriptures, and I'd get them to recite them, and they'd run around the house, and it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ. You know, and I go, yay, you know. Years later, how would you know that those seeds would do some amazing things in their life? I just figured this. If I tried to do something good to build into their lives, then maybe that would take root and grow something. If I didn't, well, then look out. The enemy would be there 100%. But I want to encourage us today to not give up. Mark 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and creates our world, and our lips reflect our thoughts. A story of a Christian family friend. He had a son who became a drug addict. And after years of praying and crying out to the Lord, he didn't think it could get any worse. Then one day he got a phone call from the son. Mum took the call. When she came back inside, she was weeping and brokenhearted and sobbing. And the father was at his wit's end after years of pain, and now it got worse. And he screamed out to God, why? Why, Lord? We've done everything. We've tried everything. We've believed that you could help us, and still it gets worse. And as he did, he turned around to his wife and he said to her, I told you when he was a little boy, he was rebellious, and that one day he would grow up as a no-hope man. And guess what? He has. As soon as those words left his mouth, he felt the presence of the Lord fill the room. And the father began to weep, oh God, I am the one who has continually confessed this about my son his whole life. But Lord, no matter what I have done, you do not confess evil about me, but rather you say, count those things or call those things that are not as though they are. Romans 4:17. As the Lord did with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, Peter, Paul, and many others. This family's life was dramatically changed that day as they changed their confession about their son. It broke a spiritual bondage that was over his life. Within a short period of time, this son was off drugs, coming to church, and today is still serving the Lord. Let me encourage you again, mums and grandmas, what a great responsibility and opportunity we have as mothers. But the cost is very high. But not to try or to give up or walk away, that cost will sometimes be unbearable. We can't take our houses, our cars, or our money to heaven. But we can believe to take our children. On that day, we don't want to hear a son or a daughter crying out, Mama, why did you give up on me? God-given love of a mother is so powerful. And what an inspiration Jochebed is. She loved her son, and she made a decision. I'm going to do whatever it takes and whatever is needed to save his life. So she made him a basket. She put him in the basket and put him in the river. Little did she know that her child, Moses, would be used by God to lead a generation of Israelites out of slavery to freedom. We don't know, but we've got to keep believing. Amen. As we celebrate mothers today, ladies, many of you in this room have sacrificed much, but we are not alone. The Lord sacrificed, and he is here to help us. And I want to encourage us today, it's going to be well worth it. It'll be well worth it to see our children in heaven. Amen? It'll be worth everything. So I'll ask you a question today. Are we living a life in such a way that is to lead, encourage, and inspire our children to have a relationship with Jesus. We can give them many things, but surely the loudest voice today crying out is eternity. I believe salvation is the greatest gift a mother can bring as an encouragement to their children. As we've heard of some of these tools today, and you know many, and there are many others, consecration, courage, cross, consequences, confession. They are able, and God's blessing upon them is able to transform lives and generations ahead. Ladies, I love you deeply. Teenagers, you are very special to John and I. Thank you, and I wish you all a wonderful Mother's Day. Amen.